We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Three-fourths of our consumers, it's their first, you know, time shopping, it's in a store. They meet a beauty advisor, but then we also have created experiences in our stores using things like technology and store digital that solve pain points for them, you know, solve problems for them, but also allow us to capture really unique, valuable data about that consumer that we can only get when she's there in real life.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. If there's one thing retailers have to get right, it's creating a seamless experience across all channels. And today's guest is setting that standard. As the Executive Vice President for Omni Retail at Sephora, Mary Beth Lawton oversees it all, digital and stores, developing innovative experiences and value along the way. So join us as we chat with Mary Beth about meeting the demands of today's savvy customers and creating a modern retail organization. Mary Beth Lawton, welcome.
Thank you.
And Susan Retta, my friend.
How are you, Bill?
And my co-host. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Good. Why are you happy to be here?
Because I get to talk to Mary Beth Lawton and be with you. But I kind of have a Sephora thing.
I'm sure,
I like that.
I'm sure you probably do. So Mary Beth, tell us a little about Mary Beth Lawton. What is your background? What is your experience?
Yeah. So I grew up in Chicago. And then after I graduated from college, I started in consulting. And it was during the dot-com boom. And so I was staffed on dot-com startups. And it's really what got me a bug around dot-com. And just, I saw it as where the future was headed with retail. And so early on, I knew that that's where I wanted to kind of take my career. And so from there, I went to a couple different retailers, Nike and then Sephora now for 7 years. And in all cases, I've been kind of on the e-commerce digital side of things, mainly leading businesses and teams. And then more recently at Sephora, I took on the stores organization as well so that we could take this omnichannel type approach.
So you've been there. I mean, when you think about the dot-com,
yeah,
you've been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have any concept this is where we'd be in 2019?
I mean, certainly not to this extent. I mean, early on, I saw when I was at these startups, the excitement around it, how consumers were starting to spend more time on the internet. But this was before mobile was anything. And so to see where it is today, and, you know, I just got out of a presentation about voice and distributed commerce and where the world is going with that. I mean, never would have I had guessed it could be that sophisticated and so ingrained in all of our lives now.
Tell us a little bit about how you keep your teams aligned, because you've got teams across multiple channels of business.
Yeah.
How do they work together?
Yeah, a couple things. So, I mean, some of it is more the practical pieces, right? So as we became one team, we did things like aligning our organization and creating teams that span both channels. Certain teams that think, for instance, about the consumer experience across our channels, or doing our forecasting of the business across our channels, but also aligning incentives. So it was really important to me as I took on this role to make sure that everyone on the team had one goal, which is kind of overall sales instead of sales of their particular channel. So that was really important. But then beyond those structural pieces, it was also about creating kind of an attitude and a mindset around putting the consumer at the center of everything. We coined this term omnitude at Sephora, and it's this idea that, you know, we'll do whatever we can to delight our consumer wherever she is shopping with us. And then, you know, ultimately, we just want to make it easy for her to shop however and whenever and wherever she wants to with Sephora. So that's been a huge part of aligning the team, is just getting them to have this mindset of doing whatever is right for her in that moment.
Yeah. We've had so many instances where we've talked with people who had a problem getting out of those silos. And you shared a story just a little while ago about when an online consumer appears in the store and how you can take that situation and not make it be, oh, we have to return this, but an opportunity to engage that shopper. Can you share a little more about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, this is a great example of, you know, a couple of years ago, we were in a situation, as I think many retailers are, where as online grows as a penetration to the total business, stores are seeing more and more online returns, right? It's just natural. And so the stores, you know, are starting to have to deal with a lot more returns. They feel the impact to their sales and therefore to their payroll. And it's a real issue. And so, you know, with this Omnitude type mindset, our team really thought about, okay, well, what's the right thing to do here? I mean, the easy route is just to kind of appease the stores and say, okay, we'll take care of the sales and the payroll and you don't need to worry about this. But actually what we came to the conclusion that the right thing to do is actually to get the stores to embrace these consumers who are coming in to return and do the right thing for her. So even though she's an online consumer or shopper, let's make her have a great experience in our stores. It's actually traffic coming into our stores, which we want these days. It's an opportunity for our store associates, our beauty advisors to sit a consumer down, ask her why the product didn't work, maybe try a new product on her, help her find the right product for her and turn it into an actual sale. And so, you know, we did simple things like starting to measure the return to exchange ratio at our store level. And that really has driven great behavior because
what
our stores.
What a great metric.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an easy one, but it's really powerful because it shows that we're trying to do the right thing for the consumer.
It's really interesting to me that, you know, the whole retail is dying, retail is dead, online eating, you know, brick and mortar. And now all of the, well, not all of them, but a big number of the online players are brick and mortar.
That's right.
And brick and mortar obviously is going full speed online. And when did that all happen? I mean, since you've been there since the beginning and you've seen all of these transitions, when did that really, when did people finally catch on?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a reality that people, you know, have realized that we are just, you know, we've continued to move through new stages of retail, right? So first there's the internet age, then mobile was a big thing. Well, in stores, you know, for sure before that. And then now we're in this world of kind of shopping happening everywhere and distributed commerce. And it's on social and it's on voice. And, you know, I think there's a realization that you have to be able to offer your consumer a great experience wherever she is. And it's not always going to be on your own properties, right? And I think stores, even though that's been become the case, that there's more and more touch points, stores, I think, are playing an increasingly important, more important role, I would argue, because as there's more and more touch points, especially a lot of social and voice, you know, people are longing for personal connection, I think, and in real life. And so, you know, when they come into one of our stores, that's when they can interact with our beauty advisors. They can get this really personal, amazing advice. And I think that's, you know, something consumers are really seeking these days. And then what we found is so powerful is a consumer comes into our store. It's often her first, for us, three-fourths of our consumers, it's their first, you know, time shopping is in a store. They meet a beauty advisor, but then we also have created experiences in our stores using things like technology and store digital that solve pain points for them, you know, solve problems for them, but also allow us to capture really unique, valuable data about that consumer that we can only get when she's there in real life and we're interacting with her and we're able to capture that data and then turn that into personalization online or, you know, through our mobile app or other things down the road. So I see stores as extremely powerful as a way to kind of bring experiences to life to people and create those personal connections and collect really valuable data that connects the channels.
I think that peer-to-peer connection is tremendous. And, you know, like we understand how the influences on social media are affecting our shopping patterns. But when I think about beauty in particular, it can be extremely overwhelming because there are so many SKUs. So to be in the store and to have that peer-to-peer and have somebody telling you, you know, what's right for you
because
they've used a digital tool, it just brings it full circle. And I just wonder how you've seen that affect the total sales.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. We have seen it really impact our sales when we are able to get that magical kind of combination of our store associate, which we call Beauty Advisor, with the consumer, with technology. So a couple examples of that. We have our Sephora Virtual Artist, which is our augmented reality experience. We have done that online and through our mobile app and so forth. But we more recently, last year, brought it into our stores as well. And what's so cool about that is, to your point, there's thousands of SKUs, right? And so often consumers are like, oh, I have no idea what lipstick or what, you know, moisturizer or what, you know, anything to put on. And so What's great is we've now built this technology where we make it super easy. You walk by this fixture and it throws looks on your face, literally shows you all sorts of, you know, lipsticks. You're able to refine it by what you're, you know, looking for. And it really just helps make it feel less overwhelming. And then when you combine that with a beauty advisor who then comes over to you and helps you, oh, do you like that look? Let's go find you that right lipstick. And so that's how we try to think about it. Another example is, you know, we do a lot of makeovers in our store. So people love to come in and not just buy product, but get their makeup done and put on their face. And they love to learn. And, you know, we used to have a situation where we do an hour, you know, 30 minutes or an hour of work, you know, to help give you this makeover. And then maybe the store associate would scribble on a piece of paper like, oh, we used this, you know, eyeshadow on your eye and this lipstick, put it here and there. But, you know, it was on a scrap of paper. Maybe people took it with them or not, but it wasn't very easy to access. And so consumers would get home and they're like, oh my gosh, I got this great look for an hour, but now I have no idea how to put it back on myself. Like no idea at all. And so what we did was develop a digital technology where we actually allow our store associates to go around, scan every product that's used in the makeover. We capture that electronically into what we call a digital makeover guide. And then we send you an electronic communication after you leave the store. So maybe you weren't ready to buy all those products in that moment, but then you get home, you're on your couch or on your mobile phone. You say, oh, that was a really great thing. And you can buy the products there. And we also show you where the product goes on your face electronically in a before and after photo. And
that's perfect.
We just make it real for you so you can go home and actually recreate the look. So I think it's another example of kind of beauty advisors with technology, with the store, with the digital, physical and digital really intermingling. That's can be really powerful.
You know, you were talking about the in-store makeover.
Yeah.
One of the things I was reading about with Sephora is a program that you all do called Clash for Confidence.
Yes.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things I'm most proud of being part of Sephora. We really care a lot about diversity and inclusion and just making anyone feel great and fearless and good about themselves when they come in.
Fearless is the new flawless.
Yeah, that's a great, great line. So we developed what we call Classes for Confidence. And the idea is that people, for instance, the transgender community or people going through cancer can come in, take a class specific to those subjects, connect with other people like them, get tips on how to apply the right makeup, but just leave with a lot of confidence and fearlessness and feeling good about themselves, which is so much what we're trying to do at Sephora. So it fits right in with our mission. And then what's great is that those consumers are having such a real, you know, human interaction and experience in our stores. And, you know, we can then follow up with them and just make sure they really feel like they're part of the Sephora family and ecosystem. So
that's great.
So you've been with Sephora for 7 years. How have you seen the customer change? Is she getting younger? Is she getting older? Is she getting more demanding?
Yeah, I think probably all those. You know, one
check.
The things that I've been amazed with Sephora is how we really do cater to all ages. And that's been true from the beginning. But what I would say is particularly around the category of skincare, we've seen the consumer get younger and younger. I think people are realizing that they need to start that skincare journey a lot earlier. And so, you know, they're coming in, they want to just get, again, some advice and start slowly. But that's really changed. I think the other big change for our consumer is obviously, you know, over the last 7 years, social has really exploded even more than it had before. And so, you know, it used to be our beauty advisors, they were the most knowledgeable people on beauty, right? But now our consumers know a ton, right? They're on YouTube every day. They're watching videos. They're social with their friends, seeing that the looks they have. So they walk in our door literally with their phones in their hand and they're like, I want this look, you know, I love contouring. Can you help me with that? You know, whatever the trend is, they already know it. And so one of the implications for us is we've had to make sure that our beauty advisors are educated even more so, but also that they have tools at their fingertips to allow them to understand kind of what some of those trends are, because there's no way they can know all of that information. So I think our consumers are more educated than ever.
I've watched the explosion of clean beauty and all natural.
Yes,
and
that's another one. Yeah.
It's amazing to
explain
go into the store
to a non-beauty makeup buyer.
Clean beauty meaning using products that will in no way harm your skin. They're from all natural.
Yeah, they're very natural. We have a whole list of ingredients that they do not include. And we have actually a seal that we put on our products when they pass that list.
I think that is incredibly important to this generation.
That's exactly it, right. People love, the consumer these days loves transparency. They love natural products. They want to feel good about what they're putting on their skin. And so, that's been a huge trend.
I just think when I go into a Sephora and somebody says, "Can I help you?" It's one of the few times that I'm like, yes,
yes,
I need help.
Yes.
Because in so many other environments, you're kind of put off by that. Like, what are you going to sell me? But you're in Sephora to make an informed decision an informed purchase.
Right.
And the associates, beauty advisors.
Beauty advisors, yeah.
are there to guide you. And you don't feel like they're constantly looking to upsell. Maybe they're just not.
No, they're
this
not.
Face, but.
Yeah, they're not commissioned that way. They want to just literally help you and help the consumer feel great about herself and find what's right for her. I think that's key. It's not about selling a particular brand or product. It's about actually finding what's right for you when you come in.
Right. Are you finding any hope in men coming around and actually using product?
You know, there are glimpses of hope there. No, we do have men that shop with us for sure. I think skincare, again, is a great way to engage them with Sephora.
Exactly.
Because all men are realizing, too, that it's important for everybody. So.
What inspires you to push boundaries?
Yeah, I've always been a trailblazer, if you will. I love when there's not a blueprint and I can just figure out how to make something happen. So when, this omnichannel challenge came, a year and a half ago, I said, oh, yeah, sign me up because... I would argue a lot. There aren't very few retailers that have figured out kind of how to truly do omnichannel in a consumer-centric way that isn't just about, buy online, pick up in store and the transactional pieces. It's about really creating these personalized, seamless, exciting journeys for consumers across all the touch points. And so what inspires me is the idea that I can help actually define that for retail and for Sephora. And, hopefully others can glean something from it. But more so, it's fun to think about how to delight the consumer. Yes, I think.
Seamless.
Yeah.
It is all about seamless. And not, we were in the listening to the presentation about voice.
Yeah.
And
where were you listening to this presentation, Susan?
We're here at NRF Tech in San Francisco. and Mary Beth and I wanted to hear this presentation on voice because it is an emerging social shopping channel. And we're trying to understand how the consumer is going to engage with it. And the steps we went through were that it was natural, contextual, and trusted.
Right.
So I can envision myself saying, I need, an anti-aging moisturizer. And then the next step is coming back so that when the next question I ask is based on the response I got.
That's right.
It just, we need to think differently about how we're going to continue the shopping journey.
That's exactly right. That's, it's the earlier comment around distributed commerce and kind of where things are headed. I really think, retailers these days can't just focus on their own properties, their stores and their own websites. It's all about kind of where consumers are spending their time. You have to have your brand and your retailer show up there. And I think consumers are spending their time, on social channels, but also increasingly comfortable to be at home and shop at home using voice. And so I think retailers do need to be experimenting and figuring out how to reach consumers in those channels and still have their retailer brand and voice show up there. It's not always easy, but, we've experimented with distributed commerce for a couple of years now. And we found that, for instance, we're on Facebook Messenger and you can try on a look through augmented reality or track your order. And it becomes a really natural conversation you have with Sephora. When you're already spending your time texting with your friends on Facebook Messenger, oh yeah, let me just text with Sephora and let me just ask her where my order is, or let me try on this look that you're talking about. And so I think it's finding those really natural ways to interact with your consumer. And I think voice is definitely the next frontier of how do you do that and then connect it to commerce, to your point, but still have your brand shine through, right?
You just kind of hit on it, but given your background, your experience, what you've seen, where are we tomorrow? How is retail evolving?
Yeah, I see it in a couple of ways. So one is what I just mentioned around, I do think retail will continue to expand the number of touch points that, you have to connect with consumers in. But then I also think, in the future, the winners at all those touch points, in my view, are going to be on kind of one end of a spectrum. So either, you know, you're going to be the best at transaction and making it super seamless, right? Like we can all think of some players that are going to have the fastest shipping times. They're going to make it super simple and easy. Or you're on the other end of the spectrum and you're truly experiential and you're bringing retail to life in a really fun, engaging way. You know, at Sephora, we certainly, you know that we need to do enough on the transactional side, and that's super important. But where we can really win and differentiate, and I think this is true for a lot of retailers, is on the experiential side. And so, as I was saying, around the stores and, you know, also online, just having great, you know, experiences to inspire the consumer, to teach her, to play with her. I think that's going to be increasingly important for retailers to, you know, bring those experiences to life. And so I see that happening more and more, again, across all these touch points. And I think the retailers that can figure out how to do that and use data to really drive then the interactions amongst those channels are going to be the winners. So that, you know, requires a lot of investment, I think, in infrastructure and data right now to really connect all those channels. You know, of course, AI, I think, is going to be a big part of that in the future. But I do think that it's got to be about the consumer. So it can't just be kind of a bunch of data and technology systems. It's got to be for the purpose of, you know, bringing these experiences to life for consumers across all these touch points.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's why the technology you have enabled in your stores works so well.
Yeah.
Is because it means something to the consumer.
That's
right. It's not just technology for tech's sake.
For sure. We in fact, put a really big screen on any technology we build. It has to solve a consumer pain point. It cannot be just because it's cool technology. And if it doesn't solve a pain point, we're not going to do it, because at the end, then there's really no purpose for our consumer.
So. The first time somebody put that digital tool to your face,
yeah,
and like, oh, you're in your life. Wait, yeah. What did you just find out? What?
Yes.
You want to look at it?
Like, yeah, okay. You're talking about our Color IQ technology. Yes. Yeah. So we scan your skin in our stores and we tell you what shade, exact shade you are, so that you can match to a foundation. Because as you know, women, one of the biggest pain points is we don't know how to find the right shade of foundation. So that's a great example of where we built the technology to actually address a pain point.
An aha moment.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have to follow up with you digitally, right? So it can't just stay in the store. Again, back to this omnichannel approach. It's like, how do we then send you what that Color IQ number is and what your products are that are exact matches to your skin, so that you can then buy them online at home or whenever you want.
I think the timing of that would be very important. After a long winter, you don't want to go in and be told
that's
you're pasty gray,
very
yellow,
true.
And they're going to, yeah.
Better go again, yeah.
Well, Mary Beth, we're about out of time, yeah. But before we let you go, we have a segment of this program and it's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
We're going to ask you a question, and then you're just going to answer with the first thing that comes to mind.
Got it.
Don't think this or overthink this.
Okay.
All right. Susan, start us off.
One beauty product you can't live without.
Moisturizer.
What was your first job?
A tennis instructor.
Are you a meetings person? Yes or no?
Yes, but with an agenda and clear outcomes.
Yay, you. I'll come work for you. Must see TV.
I should say Game of Thrones, but that's not true.
Well, you can say it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm...
You'd be cool.
I know. I feel like it's too late now to get on that train. I love Homeland. That's my show.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird.
Favorite comfort food?
Oh, pizza, for sure. From Chicago.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
And what's the favorite thing you have in your office?
Oh, picture of my kids.
Awesome. Mary Beth, thank you so much for taking the time today. This has been incredibly interesting, and I think that our listeners are really going to benefit from understanding more about what you are doing, and specifically, but the industry generally, to address this new consumer demand. And it's not so new anymore. This is what people are expecting when they go into stores and they shop online. So anyway, if people want to learn more about Sephora, the company, where can they go online?
Yeah, our website definitely has a lot of information. Our app has great information, but also come into our stores. We're happy to talk to you about it.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Mary Beth and Susan.
Thank you
for co-hosting. And thank you out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. Now, you can find more information about today's discussion on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@enteroff.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.